we're going to start at looking a little bit at what we left off with at the end of last week. One thing that we had said was this, that having deepness in your life, deep is not what you put into your head, deep is what you put into practice. And Jesus, when he talks about this happiness in Greek makarios, one of the things has to do with putting into practice. So Jesus, he's having a meal with his 12 closest friends. The meal is being served, and we're told he gets up from the meal. He dresses himself like a slave, and then he starts doing a slave's job. He starts washing their feet. And as he's washing their feet, some of them are saying, no, don't wash my feet, and there's all this. And Jesus says, look, let it go. Let me do this. I'm supposed to do this. He washes their feet, and then he goes back and sits down, and he tells them this, you should serve one another. John 13:15, what's been a power verse for us, a memory verse, hopefully you're getting this one, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jesus says, I've set for you an example that you should do what I've just done for you. And what was that? He, from a position of power, was serving other people. And he says, no servant is greater than his master. So don't expect that if I'm able to serve, trust me, you're able to serve as well. And then we get to 13:17. Now that you know this truth, how happy you'll be if you put it into practice. It's not, do you just know it? Now that you have heard about all the great things that Jesus has done, now that you know the way you're supposed to be living, you'll be happy. No, he says, a step towards happiness is, are you actually going to put it into practice or not? In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is telling a similar type of story. And he says, you know who's the wise servant? You know who's going to be the happy servant? The one that when his master returns, the master finds him doing what he actually asked him to do. It's like when you're a kid in class and the teacher says, I have to leave for a little bit, but please be working on your homework. And the teacher walks out. If when the teacher returns, you're doing your homework, the teacher will be like, oh, good job, class. If the teacher returns and you're punching somebody and throwing paper airplanes across the room, that's not what they asked you to do. Jesus gave us some things that he said, here, this is the way that we should live. This is the example of what is truth for our lifestyle. Now, put it into practice. But it wasn't just that one. So who do we take care of? Who do we do these things for? Who should we be serving? Well, Jesus seems to think that the weak and the needy are an especially important group of people. In Luke 14, one of the things he says is, you know what? You should throw a feast. You should throw a party. And when you do that, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, the same word for happy, because they're not able to pay you back. We should be the kind of people that love to help and serve the weak and the ones who aren't necessarily the easiest. But there are people that they're kind of difficult, and when you try to have a conversation, you know it's always awkward, and maybe they stand awkwardly far off from you and don't want to talk, or maybe they stand awkwardly too close to you. But I think we could grow in that, of being the type of people that don't just look for the ones that have it all put together, that don't just look for the ones that are easy to get along with, but that we really reach out to those who can be hard and can be difficult, and they'll argue with you for a while, and they won't just accept the easy Jesus answers. I think those are still the ones that we're supposed to love. Another example like this is, we're not told of Jesus saying it during his lifetime, but in the book of Acts, Paul writes and he says, well, Jesus himself said, it's better, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever heard that one? It's more blessed to give than to receive. This comes from Jesus. It is happier if we're givers, not just receivers. So we've looked at it's happiness if we're actually just doing the example that Jesus has set out for us. It's happiness when we're serving, and especially when we're serving the needy. But here's another point of it that we a lot of times have difficulty with, is that sometimes you're happy when you're the one who is in a disadvantaged position. And that's where Jesus starts to seem crazy to us. There's a common passage in the Bible, Matthew 5, called the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, you know what, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, when you're persecuted for doing God's will, when people insult you for Jesus' name. It's a well-known list if you're around Jesus stuff. And I've heard that list so often used to become a formula. an 8-step program or 9-step program about how to have a happy life is now, first you have to be poor in spirit, and then you go through the state of mourning. But we're not really talking about mourning over death or bad things. We're talking about mourning over sins, and we split it up, and we make our little list of how this works, and we tried to formulate how Jesus is not really saying you're blessed when you're at a disadvantage. And that's why I love that there's also this section in Luke. In Luke chapter 6, because, see, Jesus, when he gives the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of the stuff that he says there, he would say often. It wasn't the only time that he talked about it. It's just compiled all together there. But in the book of Luke, it's spread out a little bit, and he sometimes seems to have said it differently. And in Luke chapter 6, this is the way that he said it. Jesus looked at his disciples, and he said, "What happiness is for you who are poor? What happiness there is for you who are now hungry. What happiness there is for you who weep. And when others hate you and exclude you and insult you and smear your name." And the weird thing is he only uses four there. For the people who have this, like, there's the spiritual formula where there's the 9 things and you go through it in order. Jesus doesn't give all 9 things. In fact, he leaves out the really spiritual sounding stuff. He doesn't say poor in spirit. He just says poor. He doesn't say hungry for righteousness. He just says hungry. He completely leaves out pure in heart and peacemakers and all those nice good things. And he doesn't even do it in the right order. He switches some of them around. Jesus is getting the formula all wrong. Is he? Or have we just been so set on making a formula about how to be happy and how to get what God wants us to have that we don't realize that he's actually telling us that sometimes when you're in a bad situation that God isn't far off from you. So Jesus starts, this is what happiness is. Now, let's go back and look at that UNICEF list compared with this list and see, does this match the way that our world normally thinks? So they say material well-being. Jesus says poor. They say health. Jesus says hungry. Behaviors and risks and mourning instead. And, oh yeah, the safety thing or hated and insulted and people trying to kill you. Wow, Jesus has a very different list than we do. So does Jesus really mean what he's saying or not? I think he is. But again, the word blessed that he used there isn't this you will be getting something, this blessing, if you do something. The word is the kind of word thing where it's just saying this is a state that the people are in, a state of happiness. He's not saying if you do X, then you will get Y. If you make sure you get poor, then you'll be happy. He's saying the poor people who are right here, the ones that we see as disadvantaged, actually have a great advantage. See, Jesus, when he's talking about this, he's looking at his disciples. And you know who are the kind of people that were following Jesus? Many of them had been poor. Many of them had lost people and were mourning because of that. Many of them had been sick. Many of them had had that. And Jesus is saying, you standing right in front of me right now, the people that have been thrown off and pushed to the side, the people that the religious ones have always said, you know what? God doesn't love you if there's bad stuff going on in your life. That's a sign that God's not happy with you. If you're poor, if you're sick, that means you just didn't have enough faith. If you're doing this, then that means you just had too many problems and they've pushed you out. Well, you know what? God loves you more than you know. Another reason why we leave out Luke is because Luke then flips it over and goes to the negative side of those who are sorrowful or those who don't have it so good. So then he says, oh, the sorrows that await the rich. How miserable for you when you have all you want. How miserable for you who are laughing now. How miserable for you when everybody says nice things about you. And as I've looked at it and thought about it this week, in my life and in the people in this church, if I had to pick, look at those adjectives, and which ones do we fit into? I'll be honest. We fit these adjectives much more. And we're easy enough to go like, oh, well, I see other people more rich than I am. So we think it doesn't apply. Compared to world standards, you're rich. Compared to world standards, we are well-fed. We aren't going hungry. Compared to world standards, we have the good life. And maybe you're the kind of person that everybody says mean things about you, but most likely we're not even doing so bad in that category. It made me think about me and my wife, Christine. So, Christine, I love her for some of the right reasons, okay? She loves Jesus. She fears God. She serves God. She serves people. She has those good things. But it just so happens, I'm really happy. I also find her wildly attractive. She's intelligent. She's highly educated. And it's nice that those things are on top of it. And then I look at this list and I go, am I supposed to be happy because she has all of those things? Do I fall into sometimes what's the wrong mentality? And I think if we took Jesus seriously, we wouldn't be so surprised at the miserable people we find in this world. Here are three things to look at that might show you whether you take Jesus seriously or not. One, how surprised are you when people are miserable? Because I hear those sorts of things. Oh, but those people are so beautiful. How could they have a bad marriage? I'm so surprised. Oh, but that person was so funny. I would have never thought he would have committed suicide. Oh, that football star, he was so strong. I would have never expected that he was taking antidepressants. Oh, that rich person, I would have never expected he had to check in to get drug rehab. And we're amazed that people are miserable when they have everything this world has to give. And honestly, I think the longer I follow Jesus, the less surprised I get when people go, I would have never thought that person would be stuck in depression. I would have never thought that they had a broken heart. I go, actually, yeah, Jesus kind of warned me of that one. That's one way to see it. Do you really take Jesus seriously? Are you truly surprised when someone who looks like they have it all together is still broken inside? A second one is this. For those that have been on a mission trip with me, they've probably heard it. So we go into sometimes a poor area, and then I find it so illogical when people come back and say something like this. Wow, those people, I mean, they're so poor, but look at how happy they are and how great it was. And it just shows that what you have is not the most important thing, and that's so great. But then 1 minute later, they're saying, and it showed me how thankful I should be, how blessed I am for the stuff that I have. And I go, wait, you just told me they're happier there than people you know back home who have your junk. And then you're saying, I'm really blessed because I have my junk. Really? Yes, God does bless people and there are financial things and we should be thankful for all that we have. But then to think that, oh, I'm actually more blessed than that person because they don't have that stuff, is sometimes way off. And I don't think we take Jesus seriously when we say that. And then a third way where I don't think we take Jesus seriously is when we have something good happen in our lives and we go, God must love me. And when something bad happens and we say, oh, God must be mad at me. Because we think that only if good stuff happens, life is good. When we look at people and go, oh, you're lucky. You have what's the good life. You have the best things that are going on. Do we really look at poor people and go, you know what? I guess they are blessed. You know what we say is good. Oh, wow, you're so pretty. That's so great for you. Oh, wow, this person is highly educated. Oh, they're funny. They're really easy with people. I wish I was like them because, you know what, they never have a problem talking to people. And we look for the strong. We look for those that are well socialized, who have had a nice upbringing, who have the good background. Even thinking about the situation with ISIS and all of those, and we see people who are being persecuted and we go, I'm so glad I'm not them. As though we think that they're not blessed. When Jesus says very clearly, blessed are you when people hate you and insult you because of my name. And we eventually get to the place where it's easy for us to say, wow, I'm so glad they're blessed. I just don't want to be blessed like that. Let's be honest. We're not going to say it out loud all the time, but we go, whew, miss that blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And many of us would probably be in this culture seen as middle class. And it's easy for us to say to one another our first world problems and then go, but stuff isn't the most important things. And so we know that. And we can walk out of a sermon like this and go, yeah, it's not about all the stuff I have. And that's great. But could you do that? Could you actually look at someone who's been homeless for a year and be able to tell them the same thing? It's not about the stuff you have. I mean, stuff that happens in our lives, in this church. When we go, oh, everyone in my family is doing great. We're blessed. It's wonderful. And then you find out that someone in your family has died back home and you're not going to get to see them. God, where are you? What's happening? You get a promotion at your job. Great, God loves me. Things are great. You lose your job. God, why aren't you there? This person gets healed. It's wonderful. Jesus loves me. And there's the power of God. And then you have a cold. God, why am I not completely healthy? I look at my wife and go, wow, I'm so grateful I ended up with her because that other girl I was interested in is so much less attractive. And you see another attractive world go by. God, why didn't they get her? I'm not saying I've ever done that. I'm just... We think we're blessed if we get a day off of work. If we don't have to do that job. Woo, I don't have to do that. Instead of, blessed are those who have to work harder and suffer through it. Those who might go hungry if they don't put in that day at the job. And we think blessed are those people who get what they want. Blessed are the people who see the answers to their questions solved here, now, in front of us. And I think Jesus wants us to just be willing to admit our neediness. Why are we afraid to admit our neediness? Why are we afraid to talk with each other and just admit we have problems? What is it we're trying to prove? Are we trying to prove that God loves us more? Or that at least God's not mad at us? See, there are several people in this church who I'm sure in the last 7 days have had at least one day that was completely miserable. But they're not going to show it. Because they'll walk in and say, things are great. Trust me, you're not the only person in this room who has dealt with depression. You're not the only person who's thought about suicide. You're not the only person who has had a bad day. You're not the only person who isn't sure how money is going to work out. I was reading a book by a guy named Philip Yancey, and he had gone through these Beatitudes, and he said, you know what, I now view them not as patronizing slogans, but as profound insights into the mystery of human existence. Sometimes those people who have all the advantages in the world are so spiritually bankrupt. You don't have to look very far to see that that happens. And still, we try to make them into these rules of what we're supposed to follow. Another guy named Dallas Willard, he said, you know, the Beatitudes, these things about blessing, they can't be good news if it's just another list of how to make sure you get blessed and how to have our own legalism. It's not just us trying to follow through and make sure that this is the way the door gets open for those people. And so we have to throw all away our money and we all have to mourn and we all have to be sad. And that's the only way. Then we just created a new legalism that shuts the door on people instead of opening the door. Because Jesus was saying, you know what? All those that thought that they were left out, you're actually welcomed in. That's what Jesus has done for us. The difficulty that we have then is we look at what Jesus did. And he says, blessed are these people. But then he actually changed their lives. There was a blind beggar, and Jesus heals him of his blindness so he doesn't have to stay poor and begging. There are at least two people who were dead. People are mourning, and instead of Jesus walking up saying, blessed are you who mourn, go in peace, he raises people from the dead. He took away their blessing. Why did he do that? Blessed are those who are hungry. Instead, he ends up feeding 5,000 people. Jesus is somehow able to live with this kind of paradox where he says, you know what? You're blessed in what you have right now. God is available to you right now, but I will work. I will fight against injustice, but not with an army, but with love. And so often the people, that's what they wanted at the time. They wanted him to come in with an army. They wanted him to throw out the Romans. They weren't happy when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. They wanted peace on their own terms. Romans are gone. We have what we want. He said, no, blessed are those who make peace with what they have right now. And Jesus, he changes our circumstances and gives us some of those good things. He says, yes, your Father in heaven knows what you need. So you don't have to worry about your clothes. You don't have to worry about your food. I think he's the kind of person that could walk up to someone who is poor and starving and get down on their eye level and say, you know what? You've actually got it good. God loves you so very much. And it's not, oh, well, once this thing changes in my life, then I'll have it good. Once I get that job, once I get that person to love me, once I get to heaven, We do that as well, where we have like, oh, well, things are just horrible now, but once we get there, that's when it'll be the good life. And he says, blessed are you now. You're living in that moment now. God's kingdom is available to you now. And so always looking off to the future, he says, see what's here. But not everyone understood that. Or it's sometimes hard for us to look at that because we go, well, I don't know if I want that kind of a Jesus, because then that kind of Jesus doesn't fix all my problems. Doesn't solve everything as quickly as I want. In the Bible, there's this guy who Jesus highly commends. He says he's a great man. His name was John. But then John ends up in prison, and he's hearing about the stuff that Jesus is doing, and he sends some of his followers to say, wait, Jesus, are you really the one who we're waiting for? Because you're not doing all the stuff I expected you to do. And I'm still in jail. And Jesus just tells John's disciples, go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, skin diseases are made clean, deaf people hear, dead people are raised back to life, and poor people, they're hearing the good news. Whoever doesn't lose his faith because of me is indeed blessed, is happy. Jesus, happiness wasn't going to happen apart from Jesus. Happiness wasn't going to happen apart from what he offered, because he was the one that offered God's kingdom close. When he was talking to his disciples in Matthew 13, he said, you know what, as for you, how fortunate you are. How, that word fortunate is the same, makarios, happy, blessed, because your eyes see and your ears hear. A lot of prophets, a lot of great men of God, they were looking for what you wanted, and they didn't get to see it, but you get to see it. You get to see Jesus. How great is that? Another time, he's talking with his disciples, and he's talking to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter says, you know what? This is who you are. You are the Son of God. And Jesus says to him, how happy you are because you have that. Not because someone told you, but because this was revealed to you by God. Now, there had actually been other people who had said this before. But there's a difference between repeating and realizing. Does that make sense? It's like a teaching method. Some people can repeat a truth. They can repeat something they've heard, but they don't really realize it's true. You had that in your life sometimes? And he said, blessed are you, not when you can say, we love Jesus and Jesus is my Savior, but blessed are you when you really get it, that no matter what has happened in your life, Jesus is actually standing right there. His Holy Spirit is available with God right in front of you. And sometimes that is hard because we go, why don't I see it right in front of me? I think Jesus has an answer for that one too. In John chapter 20, after he had died, he rose back to life. Some of his disciples had seen him. They're like, yes, Jesus is alive. This is great. And they tell Thomas. And Thomas goes, you know what? You may have seen it. I didn't see it. I need to see it, and then I'll believe it. And then this time, Jesus shows up in front of him, and Thomas gets to see him. He gets to touch him. He goes, my Lord, my God. And this is the way Jesus responds. You finally believe. How happy are those who believe without seeing. And that's another one of those times where we don't want to be that type of happy. We don't want to be that type of blessed. We want to be the people that actually get to see it in front of us. And yet, we love to hear those stories of people who had faith. Hebrews 11 is full of that, of there are these people, they had faith and they kept going and they held on to hope. And even when all was lost, and even by the time they died, they didn't see the one thing that had been promised to them, but they are still living by faith. And we count them as blessed. People like Abraham, people like Moses and Joseph, who maybe they saw a part of what God wanted to give, but they didn't get all the way. And he says they held on in faith, and even though they didn't see it, we say these are great examples. Well, when we follow those great examples, and even if you don't see all of those promises that you think you're supposed to have right now, this is very real for me, because I can say from stuff that's happened in this last year, there is stuff that I was hoping for, things that I felt like I was promised, desires that I had. Christine started with twins, And then we have one child right now. And I don't get why I only have one child right now. But here's my question. Do I look at it and say, blessed are those who mourn? Or do I just go, you know what? I'll throw in the towel. Do I actually take seriously what Jesus said? Or do I think that he was just making it up and it's a nice thing for someone else's life? Do I actually keep going in faith and hope? And know that God does miracles. And believe that we will see more miracles. And we will see people who have financial problems that then are able to pay for everything that they would have as needs. Or do I believe that there are starving children that we are able to help feed like we do through our Kenya project? People that are hurt. People who feel discouraged because they're being insulted and hated, and somehow there will be an answer that we will help them. Yeah, I believe all that stuff. And yet I still know that God is present with me, whether I get to see all of it in my lifetime or not. So your Jesus life step is this. Speak of the nearness of God, and be one who lives it in front of them. Sometimes we need to be the one who goes to them and shows them God hasn't forgotten you. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't just think that the good life is somewhere waiting for you ahead of time. Know that right here, right now, God is available.